So this result is about short non-interactive proofs in the pre-processing model, and this is joint work with Ran Raz. Okay, so let's start with a brief introduction about zero knowledge. So the notion of zero knowledge was introduced by Goldwasser, Mikali, and Rakoff. But then anyone who knows what happened to Shafi? So what is zero knowledge proof? So the idea is there is a prover Alice, and she wants to prove to Bob some, let's say, NP statement, such as she wants to prove that psi is satisfiable, okay? But she wants to prove it in an interactive manner, so that at the end, Bob does not learn anything about the formula psi, besides the fact that it's satisfiable. Okay, so with zero knowledge, you didn't learn anything else besides the fact that it's satisfiable. And so this notion was introduced in the mid-80s, and soon afterwards, Goldreich, Mikali, and Wigterson showed that every NP language has such a zero knowledge proof where the communication complexity is polynomial in the size of the input. Okay, so great, we have zero knowledge proofs for every NP language. Moreover, Blum, Feldman, and Mikali showed that we even have non-interactive zero-knowledge proofs. Namely, they showed that Alice can prove to Bob that psi is satisfiable in a zero-knowledge manner by simply one message. Okay, and again, the size of the communication is polynomial in the input. Okay, so it seems great. You know, we have interactive, we have non-interactive. You know, what more can we want? So in some settings, it seems that we should hope for more. So let me give an example when we should hope for more. So let's say that psi is a CNF formula where the number of variables is small n, okay, and the number of clauses is big n. Okay, so the size of the statement is big n, okay, but actually it has a short proof, right? The witness, W, a satisfying assignment consists of small n number of bits. So that's a proof. So there is a proof of size small n. And the question is, when you convert it into a zero knowledge proof, is it necessary to pay so much? Does it have to be of size big n? Okay, the point is that this communication complexity is none, doesn't seem to be good enough in the case where the witness is much, much smaller than the instance. Okay, so think of big N as almost exponentially in small n. Okay, so the question is, do we have to pay this exponential blow up in the proof? Okay, so let me just, before I continue, so our goal is actually to construct non-interactive zero knowledge proofs where the size of the proofs are polynomial in the witness size. So we just want a polynomial blow up in the size of the proof, okay? So even if psi is of size big N, we still want the zero knowledge proof to be polynomial in small n, okay? So this is our goal, and before I continue, let me just say that actually we cannot achieve non-interactive zero knowledge unless we assume some set of assumptions, okay? So the common set of assumption is what's called a common random string model. And this model assumes that Alice and Bob there's some random string in the sky, truly random bits, that both Alice and Bob have access to. Okay, this is not the model I'm going to use in this talk. Rather, I'm going to use what's called the pre-processing model. It was proposed by DeSantis, Mikali, and Persiano. And this model assumes that it's a stronger model, and it assumes that in the past, Alice and Bob interacted in some preamble phase. Okay, so there was sometime in the past where they interacted. Once this interaction was completed, now Alice can prove to Bob any statement by a non-interactive zero knowledge proof. Okay, so let me just say that this model is stronger because, in particular, they can agree on a random string ahead of time. So, and we're going to construct short non-interactive zero knowledge in the pre-processing model. So, assuming they interacted in the past in some, so we're going to using the pre-processing model, but in our case, the pre-processing model is going to be very short, so polylog in the size of the instance, and it's going to consist of a constant number of runs. So we'll see. Okay, so before I state my result more formally, what is the state of the art? Okay, so what's known about short proofs? So in the non-interactive setting, nothing that I know besides, you know, just what I showed. In the interactive setting, so there's what Yuval talked about this morning. So there's the work of Killian and Mikali that forget about zero knowledge, okay? They showed how to prove by computationally sound proof. So they showed how to prove any NP language by an interactive proof where the proof is of size polylog. Okay, so forget about the witness side. They really make a short proof and they use interaction there. So the interaction is used in an important way. And as we saw today, Yuval Ishai and Gushi Levitz and Ostrovsky gave an alternative proof, which is much simpler. So, okay, so so by the way, this is not regarding proofs, but rather arguments. So what does it mean by argument? Argument, so it's a notion that was put forth by Boissard, Chum, and Crepeau, and the idea is that you're only secure against bounded adversarial proofs. Okay, so in, if Alice is unbounded computationally, then she can cheat. Okay, but if Alice is polynomially bounded, computationally bounded, then she cannot cheat. And our results are all also with respect to arguments. Okay, so we show short proofs, short zero knowledge proofs with respect to arguments. And so let me just say one more thing here, that these results did not even consider zero knowledge, so they were just to get short interactive proofs, but they can be very easily made zero knowledge using just standard techniques. Okay, so by the way, please stop me if you have any question. Okay, so let me now state the result a bit more formally. So what we show is that we show that we construct a non-interactive zero-knowledge argument where the size of the message is polynomial in the witness size, and we do that in the pre-processing model, and we don't do it for every NP language, but we do it for a lot of NP languages. Actually, almost every NP language we can think of, we could do it, but let me just give a few examples here. So we'll see for SAT. I'll mention, so we can do it for SAT. We can do it for every language in log SNP. I'll explain what this class is in a minute. And we also show how you can evaluate, you can prove that n evaluations of some secret formula are correct via short proof of size polylog n. I'm gonna explain each of these results in a minute. But let me first say that actually what we prove is a general theorem. Okay, so we have some general theorem that from that theorem, each of these cases apply pretty easily, and a lot of other things we can deduce from our general theorem. So,
question?
Yes.
So, like a particular language might have several witnesses, right?
Several witnesses, yes.
And not all witnesses may be of the same size. So which witness do you consider the smallest one? Or?
So, okay, so we can, it depends what you, so any prover, he has some witness, okay? So the prover is efficient, okay? So he has some witness, and given this witness, his amount of communication is efficient. And it's important because we do arguments, we don't do proofs, so he has to be efficient. And the point is, the size of the zero knowledge proof that he gives is polynomial in his witness in hand. Okay?
Yeah, so maybe I'm missing. Unless you say something is that the processing is very short, it seems a bigger result than.
Yeah, so, right. So yeah, I did mention very briefly, but yes, the pre-processing is both very short. It's polylogarithmic in the input, and it has constant number of runs. So, yeah, so it's short.
And independent of the input.
Of course, it's independent. That's the idea of pre-processing. It's independent of the input. Yes.
So secure against computationally bounded provers, and the prover is bounded in terms of witness size or theorem size?
In terms of theorem size.
Of course, theorem size.
Yes. His work is so.
Malicious prover could run as long as.
Actually, so what we do if if you want to be more the accurate answer to this is we have some security parameter that we put. That we put in, and the communication also depends on the security parameter k, and you assume that the prover runs at less than time to the k. So you can take the security parameter be poly log n, and then you're all set. So there's some security parameter hiding there that I'm kind of avoiding. Okay, so so what we're going to do, I'm going to just explain each of these results, and then I'm going to give the general theorem, and then I'm going to explain how it's obtained.
Can you give a natural example that your theorem doesn't apply to?
Yes, general set. So if the NP statement is taking a general formula, that's the only example that we have that our theorem does not, that we show that, that. So take any formula, not CNF, you know, just a general circuit. General circuit, and the question is it satisfiable? Does it have a witness, instance that outputs one? This we don't know how to do. But all the other languages that we can think of actually did, we do know how to get it.
So sample reduction doesn't work? Why don't you just reduce it to set?
Because
like
when you do NP reduction, the witness becomes big. The witness becomes the size of the instance.
Oh, this is it.
That's the problem.
Do you have a characterization of those CFP problems for which your thing works?
No, we don't. We have a lot of cases, but we don't have one characterization. I mean, we just have the general theory, which is in some sense you can think about as a characterization, but we don't have in terms of NP languages. Yes, Rebecca?
So in this case, if you had some very small witnesses and some larger witnesses, does this mean really that the verifier might be able to learn about the specific witness, but whether it was in a class of smaller or larger witnesses?
So, good point. Yes, the prover does learn, that's a good point, I didn't think about it. The prover does learn the size of the witness you use, because you do some kind of a bit commitment on the witness. Yes.
And that's
okay. So, no, because you can, not in these languages at least. Because it's clear what the size of the proof is.
Yeah.
So maybe in languages where, I don't know languages, I mean, in what?
It's for SAT, the assignment is only.
Exactly, the assignment for August and P, it's clear. For all these languages, it's clear what the size of the witness is. So, but maybe if you have an NP language where it's not clear, then. But yeah, it's a good point. Yes. Okay, so let's start with the results. So let me explain and be a little more formal about our results regarding the SAT. Okay? So let's say Alice wants to give Bob a short NIZK proof that SAT is satisfiable. So let's assume that our result is the following. Our result says, if Alice and Bob interacted in the past in some very short preamble stage, short meaning the communication complexity is polylog, okay, and let's say even counts a number of rounds, then afterwards, Alice can prove to Bob that any psi is satisfiable via a non-interactive, zero-knowledge argument where the size is polynomial in the witness rather than the instance. Okay, so that's the result. And of course she can do it, it's not just one time, but she can prove psi, and then she can prove that phi is satisfiable, and so on, with respect to the same preamble phase. Okay, and actually in this setting our result is a bit more general. We show that she can do this not only for psi, which is a conjunction of clauses, but also for any psi, which is a conjunction of small formulas of size polynomial in n. So a clause is of size exactly n or less than or equal to n, but she can do it for any psi, which is a conjunction of any formula of size poly in small n. Okay, so this is our result regarding SAT. Our result regarding log S and P is very similar. It says again that they interacted in the past in some small preamble phase, which is exactly the same preamble phase, then more or less, then later she can prove that any X in some log S and P language, that some X belongs to any log S and P language where the size is polynomial in the witness. So exactly as before, but let me now say a word about what is this log SNP. So it's a class that was defined by Papadimitriou and Yannakakis, And it consists of many languages that their witness is short. So the witness is a size polylog. Okay, so an example is log leak. Okay, so whether there's a clique of size log n, witnesses of size log squared. Another example is dominating tournaments, and they have many, many languages in there. The reason I want to emphasize this class is because in this case, polynomial in the witness is actually polylog in the instance, in the input length. So for these kind of languages, our result actually matches the result in the interactive case, where it's polylog. Okay, so let me just do a sanity check here. Our results, we don't get polylog. We don't need to deal with PCP stuff because we don't want to compress the proof. We just want to make it zero knowledge. Okay, so our results is usually just polynomial in the witness, whereas in the interactive setting they always had communication polylog. But here, in this case, the witness is of size polylog, and therefore we also get proof of size polylog.
Like in one
message, yeah.
So
it's a non indicator, so non-interactive zero.
But for general, like NP complete, let's say, problems, the only issue is fixed polynomial versus non-fixed polynomial, because if you do a reduction, that's the only problem. When you say fixed, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, when I ask you about the reduction, the only problem is that the polynomial, by what polynomial the witness grows is like not specified. Could be
no,
just
the
like fixed versus
no, that's not the point. The point is, when you reduce log click to SAT,
right,
the witness grows exponentially.
Right.
So it's not a polynomial log, it's an exponential log.
But for any NP complete problem, I would imagine it would.
Any NP complete problem, the witness size is the same as the is polynomial in the input size, and because otherwise you'll get sub exponential for NP. So.
But isn't there a factor of security problem?
Yeah. So right. So yes, like I said, there is a security parameter always running. You always have polynomial and also some security parameter K. But I kind of omitted it because it puts a lot of noise in the talk.
Security parameter has to be related to the big N.
Right, so you can think of the security parameter as polylog in big N, okay? Which means, I mean, depends on what hardness assumption you want, but if you assume polylog in big N, then it means that you allow the Alice to run only in time poly in big N, or not more than poly in big N. So, okay, so this is for log SNP. Okay, so what are our third result? We show, this is a little bit different flavor. We show how you can commit to some formula, f of size n. And later you can prove any n statements of this form by a short non-interactive zero knowledge argument. And short, I mean polynomial in log n. Polynomial, so it's probably log n the number of statements. Okay? So, and polynomial in the formula size.
What is it?
And n is the number, so you want to prove n statements of this form. I goes from 1 to big n.
Oh.
So you want to prove f of x1 equals y, and so on, and until f of xn equals yn. Okay, and you can do it by a proof of size poly log in big n.
Formula, you mean any circuit, or you mean?
So, no, okay, good. So that's my next thing that I want to say. We don't know how to do it for general circuits, only for formula, and by formula I mean a circuit in NC1. Okay? More formally, what we show, if Alice and Bob interacted in some short preamble phase, then later, after this preamble phase, Alice can commit to any Boolean formula f of size m. Okay, so she can choose some secret formula of her own. She can commit to it, where the commitment is of size m, of the size of the formula. And later, given any n pairs, so she chooses or given, doesn't matter, for any n pairs, she can prove that her formula f and xi equals zi by a non-interactive zero knowledge proof where the size of the proof is only, depends only polylogarithmic on big N and on her formula. So let me maybe just give you some examples. So it'll be, before that, this result can be thought of a little differently. So forget about a preamble phase. You think about it this way. Alice can just, she has a secret formula. She can commit to it by some interactive commitment scheme. Okay, so think about all this part as some interactive commitment. And after she committed, she can prove that her formula satisfies all these equations by a short, non-interactive zero-knowledge argument. Okay, so let me give you an example. So, okay, here's some fun example. Let's say Alice claims she has an algorithm for factoring. Okay, not only number, but very short formula that factors numbers. Okay, so Bob says, I don't believe you, prove it to me. So, I mean, the obvious solution is, okay, Bob will ask her questions, right, and give her composite numbers, and she will factor it for him. But that's not, that, you know, maybe not satisfactory, because what if she, you know, has some quantum computer to do that for her? This is also, you know, maybe she has really, really powerful computer standing there, and she can use all of them somehow to factor. So instead, what she would do, she would commit to the formula. So she will give us a short commitment, and after that, given n queries from Bob, she will answer the queries, and here she can give a very short, non-interactive proof that our argument, that her answers are consistent with the formula that she committed to.
So in this case, sorry, F is what? F
is a factoring number.
So it takes
so it's
number,
not 0-1.
But I see.
Oh, yeah.
But there is no verification?
Here, yeah, so F is a factoring algorithm. Forget about 0-1, okay? Because you can always commit to them. And now she's getting, you know, big N composite numbers. She factors them, and she proves that her factoring algorithm, given a composite, outputs the factored. Yes, Dan?
So does this also check that F was indeed a formula? Like, could she? Does she just prove that the values of F exist, or did she also prove that F was indeed a formula of the right?
She also proved that it's a formula.
And how does it relate to the size of the witness in this case? What is the witness?
So the witness is the formula.
So where is the log N?
It's a little different than the previous setting. That's why I said it's a little different than the previous setting. If you want to put it in the previous setting under that picture, then you can think of the instance is of size big N, okay, x1 to xn. The witness is the formula. And so it's true that it doesn't only depend on the witness. There's also a log N factor. But this log N factor is usually, this is much bigger. In any NP language, you can think of M as bigger than log N, because if the witness is smaller than log N, then it's NP. So if the witness is smaller than log N, do nothing. Don't say anything. If it's larger than log N, then you get, so there's some, but I think this result should be thought of, just forget about the context of NIZK, it's just, you know, it's in preamble, preprocessing, just you can interactively commit to a formula, and then you can prove short proof that your formula satisfies a bunch of sentences, statements like that.
What is the size of the factoring formula? The M was a factoring formula. What is the size?
The size of the factoring N.
Where's
N? Oh, so what is it? So it's a parameter. So for any N, you can.
It's the length of the formula. The length
M, the formula. M is the length of the formula, the size of the formula. Just.
The bit length.
No, it's the number of gates in the formula. What was your question again?
The factoring formula is the number is a product of
two primes.
Yes. So what is the length of this? Is this the length of the integers or the bit length, or what is the length, the formula size?
The M. You ask me what M is?
Yeah.
M is the size of the formula, the number of gates, and what is it? It's a parameter.
The number of gates is an arithmetic circuit or a Boolean circuit?
So here you think about it as a Boolean circuit. In our result, we actually convert, we'll see in a minute, we convert any Boolean into an arithmetic anyway, because in order to prove anything, all our proofs work in the arithmetic, we use arithmetic circuits to prove. So we first translate to arithmetic circuits, and then we work there. So, Okay, so maybe now I'll state the general result. So our general results are the following. If Alice and Bob interacted in the past in some short preamble phase, then later, Alice can commit to, given any secret W of small of size small n, she can commit to it, okay, but by commitment of size poly n, this is non-interactive. And later, given any big N formulas of, let's say, size S, S is a parameter, she can prove that all these formulas that her secret, her all these formulas and her secret string is equal to some ZI, and she can prove this by a short NICK proof. Where short, it's of the size of the formulas and of size log n. So it's polynomial in S and in log n rather than n. Okay? Now, just as an example, let me show you how SAT, how our first example of SAT clearly follows from here. So let's assume Alice and Bob interacted in some preamble phase. Now, how does Alice prove to Bob that Psi is satisfiable? What she will do, she will commit to her witness. So W is a satisfying assignment. She will commit to W, okay? And later, think of each gamma I, think of it as a clause. Okay, so she needs to prove that n clauses, each clause is a size small n, right? And most of us, let's say small n. She needs to prove that all the clauses on W equals 1. So think about all the ZIs are 1. She needs to give, she's going to give an NICK that all the clauses are satisfied. And this together are her NICK proof. Okay, note that it's non-interactive and the size is poly n and S is also n. And log big N is polynomial in small n, so everything here is polynomial in small n. So this is an example. Yes,
how do you define soundness and zero knowledge in pre-processing model? Is your prover allowed to be cheating in pre-processing phase, and is your verifier allowed to be cheating?
Okay. So I didn't think I'm gonna get into it, but let me answer your question. So what I asked, how do you define soundness and how do you define zero knowledge in this phase in this model? So zero knowledge, you say that for any cheating verifier, there's a simulator. The simulator gets to talk with Alice also in the preamble phase. Okay, so there's a simulator here. He gets to abuse so just the regular zero knowledge. Okay, for soundness, so. You want to show that, now I need to remember exactly. So soundness is a little more tricky because there are some adaptive issues here. So we do get adaptive soundness. So what do I mean? We want to say that if Alice, so what were the issues there? So the goal of soundness is to say that Alice cannot prove any wrong statement unless she can break some peer scheme or whatever. So I don't remember now. What?
You just ask Alice to, like a cheating prover, to output n formulas after the commitment phase.
Oh, okay, good. So right.
Just
so
play this game.
Yeah. So okay, so this soundness holds also if Alice chooses psi depending on the preamble phase, and also these depending on the preamble phase, still soundness holds, and also zero knowledge. So zero knowledge also holds even if Bob asks her to give a proof of something that's dependent on the preamble phase, and by then, you know, using that he wants to get information, so no, zero knowledge also holds.
The soundness also holds if Alice is cheating in the preamble phase.
Also if Alice is cheating in the preamble phase, of course, yeah. We don't assume any, yeah.
So you said S is the number, n.
So think of S as poly and small n.
Oh, this is just the clause, right?
The size of the clause.
That's what.
Yeah. It's the total size.
S is the size of a clause.
One clause.
Yeah, one clause. And you want to prove that n, big N clause are satisfied. That for every clause, you have big N clause, for every clause, lambda is a clause, every clause the clause in W equals one. So think of all the Z's as one.
And what do you prove before that?
Huh?
What do you prove before this? Do you prove something else before this?
What do you mean before this?
I mean, you're saying something about n formulas. Do you prove something there, or you directly just prove that they are all satisfactory? That's all.
So our general result says for any formulas, not necessarily formulas that compute a clause. For any big n formulas of size s, we can prove we have a short proof that these formulas and the secret W equals Zi.
And commitment is a part of the proof, or?
No, so in the general formula, we have a preamble phase, we have a commit phase, which is non-interactive, and we have an NIZK phase, which is non-interactive. That's the claim, but then in order to do NIZK for satisfiability, you combine these two together are the proof. Where here you commit to the satisfying assignment, and here you prove that all the clauses are satisfied. Okay. So let me say that actually our result is even more general than this, because in order to our result actually, like I said, we work with arithmetic circuits, because that's where we have our tools. So instead of having here n Boolean formulas, we show for arithmetic circuits. So given n arithmetic circuits of, let's say, degree d, we prove this where the size of the proof is polynomial in the degree d of these arithmetic circuits and in polynomial. Now, the point to notice here that the size of the NIZK does not depend on the size of the arithmetic circuits, only on the degree of the arithmetic circuits. And this is actually important because, for example, for log s and p, each lambda I that we need to verify is actually big. Okay, it's polynomial in big N. But the degree turns out to be very small, polynomial in small n. So, or polylog in big N. So it's important for us that the size of the NIZK depends on the degree and not on the size of these circuits, of these formulas.
And why is it important for the preamble phase to run in polylog N?
Well, it's not important. I mean, if you let it run in polynomial in big N, then it's like, well, what does it matter? I mean, it's not so important. But all I'm claiming is I want short. So if I just move all the long to the preamble, it's.
And the preamble happens.
What? No, you're right. You're right. It happens. Yeah. No, you're right. But it still would be nicer to have also short preamble.
You can reuse the preamble.
Yeah, you reuse the preamble. You can reuse the preamble, sure.
And can you, your results holds for even the NIZK model, so in the CRS model?
No, we don't know. We have to have a pre-processing. We don't know how to obtain these results if we get rid of this phase and instead we have a common random stream.
So it has to be somewhat dependent on the statement or something?
No, this is independent of the statement. Bob needs to have some secret about, you'll see in a minute, this preamble phase. They have secrets. The CRS, the difference is CRS is like public. Everybody knows what's going on. Here it's important that Bob holds some secret about the preamble phase, okay, that he will later use for verification. So, yes, Danny.
Two questions. The arithmetic state is 0, 1 to the end to 0, 1 mistake, or?
No.
Boolean.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's from 0, 1, but the gates are plus and multiplication gates.
Over what field?
Over so usually GF2. And later we'll move into some finite field, but at this point you can think about, I mean, actually you can put it here any finite field and it will work. So our results actually hold for any finite field.
That's what I want, and does the n, little n, come in at the second stage at all, or just at the top stage?
Does n, little n, come here? Where? Here, you mean?
It
doesn't come in. It doesn't come in. So if there's only one statement, it's just poly in D. It's like D log D.
D log D, no matter what the terms.
No matter what n or what n or what.
Will depend on n because you have to commit first.
Yes.
So just to be clear, the degree means if you expand out the circuit, like as a polynomial, what degree is the maximum?
Exactly. So yeah, degree is if you just, right, exactly like you said. Okay, so any more questions?
Well, I guess the running time circle has to, somebody has to evaluate the circle, so the running.
Okay, so you want to ask about the running time. I didn't say the running time. The running time here is poly log n. the running time here is poly in small n, so same. Here the running time is actually polynomial in big N, because to do the verification you need to read the statement. Okay, so the complexity of the prover and the verifier at the end is polynomial in big N, because they both need to read the statement and do.
And probably the formula also need to evaluate. So maybe the formula has small degree but like exponential time or something. You also need to, I mean, you probably need to run the circuit as a verification.
You need to run the circuit in the verification.
So,
yes.
I mean, it's conceivable
right.
The circuit's also exponential.
Right. Okay. But the size of the circuit, it's here, it's the input. So it's polynomial in the input, where side to side. Okay, I mean, it's not a Turing machine, it's a circuit. We should get going to the proof. So first let me just say what the tools we use. So the tool is private information retrieval. So here's the, I've been waiting to say this word. So actually I'm pretty surprised, because I was sure that I won't need to say anything about private information retrieval by now, but nobody talked even about private information retrieval. I mean, actually gave some definition. Well, and nobody talked about it in the computational setting, I should say. So I'm the first, so I guess I should explain what it is, at least in the computational setting. Okay, so the definition of in the information theoretical setting was due to Shor, Goldreich, Kushilevitz, and Sudan, and in the computational setting, which is where I'm going to concentrate here, is due to Kushilevitz and Ostrowski. And so what it is, a computational peer, there's a database who has big N indices there, and there's some user I, Bob, and he has some index I, and he wants to query the ith location in the database. Okay, so peer allows him to send a query, okay, in a way that the database learns nothing about I, so it gains no information computationally about the specific location, about the location. But still, he can give an answer in a way that Bob can learn the message in the ith location. Okay? So again, the query reveals no information. Nevertheless, the database can give an answer from which the Bob can recover the message in the ith location. So of course this is trivial if you allow the database to just send all the database, right? Then you don't need to query anything. But we want the communication complexity to be short. In particular, for the results I stated above, we need polylogarithmic communication complexity. Okay, so the communication should be small, polylogarithmic in the size of the database. Okay, and this is known how to achieve. So the first result is due to Kashi, Mikhail, and Stadler, under what's called the free hiding assumption, and the second is due to Liebman and what's called under the nth residuosity assumption, but both of them are under exponential hardness, and it's crucial if you want polylog communication, you have to assume exponential hardness.
So in terms of assumptions, this is the assumption
so
you use.
One of this, yeah,
here,
but
anything?
Right, that's the assumption, but. As Yuval pointed out, actually, if you want to use weaker assumptions, like then you can if you take a peer with communication complexity some alpha in n, doesn't matter, then you get a result, but the NIZK will be of size polynomial alpha in n. So if you want before I said the that the NIZK is polylog. If you want to spend here more, then you can get better. If you want better assumptions, you'll need to spend here more.
It can be alpha of n.
It can be alpha of n, and then you'll take a peer of size of communication complexity alpha of n. So, okay.
So the final result is the size of the witness, and the minimum between the polynomial and the size of the witness, and then the size of peer.
Exactly. And actually, but to be more precise, this is not enough. We need what's called a symmetric peer introduced by Tal. Rafi is even here, so. Okay, so it's introduced by Gerdner, Ishai, Kushilevitz, and Tal Malkin, and Noam Pinkas showed how to transfer any peer to spear, and let me just tell you really informally what a spear is. So a, a symmetric pair, not only the database does not learn I, but also Bob doesn't learn anything beyond MI. So he only learns MI, not any other entry of the database. Okay, so in the 5 minutes I have left, let me do the scheme, at least part of it. So let's start. So this is the statement I want to prove. The main part actually involves proving a single statement. Okay, so the main part of the proof, as I see it, is how given a so to commit a W, and then given only a single, forget about N, a single arithmetic circuit of degree D, given an IZK that depends only on D, on the degree, and not on the size. Okay, and this we don't have. So this is the first step, and then we show how to use error correcting codes and private and peer schemes in order to also to take care of N such formulas or arithmetic circuits. So let's start with one. So how do we? So I want to show you a preamble phase and then commit to some secret W, so that later I can show that given any arithmetic circuit lambda, I can show that lambda and W equals Z with a short proof. Okay. So what is the idea? So first let me point out, I said that the preamble does not depend on what you want to prove, but it does depend on the parameter. Okay. So it does depend on the size of the formulas you're later going to prove. So it depends on D, on the degree of the arithmetic circuits. So the idea is the following. So first, Alice and Bob agree on some extension field F. Okay, so they take out of the first, the smallest extension field of size bigger than D, let's say D to the third. Okay, so they agreed on the extension field of size D to the third. Now, how do we commit? The idea of the commitment will be such that once I give you a commitment to W, you can compute by yourself a commitment to lambda of W. Okay, that's something you'll need. And okay, so first we're gonna think of W of lambda as an arithmetic circuit from F to the N to F. Okay, so F is the extension field. And what we'll do for each, so we're gonna do a bit commitment. So we're gonna commit to each bit separately. For each bit WI, what we're gonna do, we're gonna choose a linear function that on zero gets the value WI. Okay, so a linear function from F to F that on zero gives you WI. And what Alice is gonna do, she's gonna give Bob these linear functions and a single element. So she's just gonna give these linear functions, A1 up to AN, and some element tau in the field. Which element is this? This Bob should choose in a way that Alice should not know what this element is. Okay, so this tau is chosen by Bob. So how does Bob and Alice shouldn't know what this tau is. So how does she give him A of tau without knowing what tau is? We're gonna use a peer, okay, a private information retrieval. So in the preamble phase, Bob is gonna send some query that depends on tau, and in the commit phase, Alice is gonna give an answer, a tau. So think of Alice's database as A on all the field elements. Okay, so A on 0, A on 1, A on 2, and so on, all the field elements. And she gives him A on the value of tau that he asks without learning what tau is. And this is important that she does not learn what tau is, the value of tau. Okay, good. This is the commitment. Okay? So this is the commitment. The thing to notice here that each A, I, and tau is just a field element, right? So you can think of this circuit, instead of having inputs, the W's having inputs A1 tau and so on up to AN tau. And the idea is, when you think about it this way, then this is actually a univariate, this is univariate, depends on one variable, tau. So this is actually, you can think of this tau, this now it's tau prime if you want, as a polynomial from F to F, okay, that on zero gives you exactly lambda of W. Okay, exactly lambda of W, and this is a univariate polynomial of degree D. So the degree remained because here these are linear functions. Okay, so we still have arithmetic. Now we have just a polynomial, unified polynomial of degree d. And now it's easy. How are you going to prove? Just reveal this polynomial. Okay, and how will you just reveal this polynomial. How will Bob check? He will check that it's a degree at most d polynomial. He will check that on zero. It's z as it should be, and the important point is that he can evaluate it by himself on tau. So the tau he knows, and this is public, the lambda is public, so he can compute lambda prime tau, and he can check, and he's going to check that v of tau equals to lambda prime on tau. Okay? And the reason we have soundness intuitively is that if Alice could open two different, let's say she can prove that lambda w equals z and that it equals z prime, then it means she can reveal two polynomials that are distinct, because one on zero gives z, one on zero gives z prime, but they agree on tau. So it means she can guess tau. And this is contradicts the peer that should hide tau. Okay, so we're really using the fact that we have your correcting code.
So in the peer, the site of the database is the site of the extension field?
So the size of the database is the size of the extension field, exactly. Actually minus one, because zero should not be in the, I didn't write it, but zero should not be in the peer. Yeah.
Sorry, so can you go over it again? Like what are these AIs?
What are what?
What are these AIs?
Yeah, so AIs are just linear functions, random linear functions chosen by the prover. They're totally random except that on zero they output WI. The witness. So on zero they have the witness, but notice that on a random value they're really random. So these are all truly random values, really random, not computational. Okay, so these are truly random function, and then, so the idea is to reveal the polynomial. Okay, and the thing to notice is that this is of size d, polynomial in d, because the degree is d, and to reveal each one is like log d, so it's polynomial in d, like we promised. So let me say just a few words on how we do many. So now we don't have only one, we have big N, please. So I don't have time, so I'll just go really quickly without getting into details, but the idea is you would want to just give all of them, right? We gave before one, you want to give all of them. This is too long because this we want it to depend polylogarithmic on N. So this is, and okay, so this is too long, not bad. The idea, okay, you know what, so this is the main idea, just give a linear combination. Linear combination, it's big, it's really big. Because you know you need each alpha and so on, but the degree is small. So give that. But the problem is, who chooses these alphas? If the prover chooses it, he can cheat. If the verifier chooses it, it's a problem because just to give it, it costs big N because it's a lot of alphas there. So this is also a bit of a problem. What we do instead, we'll give an error correcting code. So we'll take all these V's that he computed as he did in the case of just one lambda, and he will take a linear error correcting code of all these, of all the polynomials. And a linear correcting code gives you a polynomial of the same degree. So we're still in the same degree. The problem is the linear correcting code gives you a bunch of polynomials. So which polynomial do we choose? Which index of the linear error correcting code do we take? So again, it's the same problem. Does Alice choose it? If that's not good, because she can cheat. So Bob needs to choose it. But the question is, when does he choose it? He can't choose it here, because we don't have interaction. And if he chooses it ahead of time, then she can cheat. So the way we do, here's how you check, but forget about this. What we do is we do it via private information retrieval. So we give him, Bob will choose J, which is an entry of the error correcting code. We'll take, let's say, from zero, the error correcting code will be, let's say, from, there are going to be 100 N indices, and he'll send the query. This is polylog in big N now, now Alice will answer here in a peer with the database answer. So that's just, we're really quickly, just because I'm out of time. So let me just summarize the idea. So just high level for those who, for probably all of you who didn't follow the end. So the idea is first you prove a single statement. So the proof, first we show that our proof works for a single statement, and the proof is of size poly in the degree of lambda. And then we show how to prove n statements by proof of size poly log n. And so the first idea was to use a proof just for a linear combination, but then we had a problem because who gives this linear combination? The prover should not know what it is, of course. And so the second idea, the way we resolve this problem is by using a linear error correcting code and a poly logarithmic peer. So this is just a high level. So okay, so now just let me summarize the protocol. So what does our protocol look like? In the preamble phase, we first send a query tau from the database of size F. Then we send a query J for a database of size 100n or something, some constant times n, depending on the linear correcting code. To commit, we give the database answers a1 of tau up to an of tau, which are just all the linear functions in a random place. And the reveal, we just take all the polynomials, and we give the function, which is the jth coordinate of a linear error correcting code on this polynomial. And let me end by saying that actually I really cheated you guys. I mean, there's a lot of more technical things here. For example, this may reveal some knowledge, right? Even before the polynomial may reveal some knowledge, I didn't even mention that. So actually, there are some things to do here. You can't just reveal. You need to actually commit and give a regular NIZK proof. So this NIZK is very short. I mean, it's just the statement here is short, so there's nothing. Here you can just take any regular NIZK you want.
Which uses a string for NIZK?
Okay, so the common random string happens in the preamble. So in the preamble, you also generate a common random string. You also need some zero-knowledge proofs of knowledge for the simulation to work. So actually there are more ingredients than I showed, but I think there's a lot of things there, so I can show everything. So, but I think the main points are okay. So let me just end. Let me just say that. So we showed short NIZK in a couple examples, but I think. So let me just mention a few future work. So first of all, for all NP languages, not for just some, I think it would be great if we could show it in the CRS model rather than a pre-processing model. And also, since we're talking about arguments, we may be able to, the most interesting question probably, in my opinion, is to show non-interactive arguments of size poly log rather than poly independence. So that's it, thanks.